Well, I'd like to address the young people first. And I'm reminded of a scripture that probably some of you know, and you probably may even have it marked in your Bibles. Who knows, without looking to your Bible quickly, who knows Romans 8, verse 1? Who knows Romans 8, verse 1? What's Romans 8, verse 1?
It says that there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus.
That's right. That's correct. That's correct. You all knew that, didn't you? You all knew that one. Yeah, of course you did. Right. It says there's no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but by the Spirit, or according to the Spirit. Now, do we understand the word condemnation? Do you know what the word condemnation, or to be condemned? Do you know what that word means? Any idea? What does it mean? Yes. To be judged. Yes, to be judged. So in a court of law, a judge has to pass sentence. And that would be a form of condemnation, to condemn. The law requires that the breaking of the law requires that a penalty must be paid. That is how law is passed. So there is a standard within law that we're to adhere to, and we violate it or we break it, then there's a penalty that is involved. Now, who paid the penalty? Who paid? Who fulfilled the law for us? Who was it?
Jesus.
It was Jesus, that's right. So Jesus has paid that law, that penalty. Now, if we put our faith in Jesus, and that we believe he has paid that price that no other man could pay, then why is it we allow ourselves to go under condemnation? Why do you think that is? Why is it that we're a believer, we believe what Jesus has done for us, but we find ourselves feeling condemned? Have you ever felt condemned? Have you felt sort of guilty, that guilty feeling, you know? We all cover it, but have you felt that guilty feeling? And sometimes, of course, we're trying to cover up something we've done, and we feel guilty about it. It just hangs around, doesn't it? It's sort of on your mind. And you know, it doesn't matter wherever you go, it's just there, nagging away. Have you ever had that? Have you ever had that? Or one or two are nodding their heads. Yeah, of course you have. Yes, even Stella is. So we've done this. Now, Paul says here that is removed. That is removed. If we're with Jesus and we walk in the Spirit. Now, any ideas, any understanding of what he's meaning there is to walk in the Spirit or by the Spirit? Any ideas on that? Yes, Joel.
You don't walk after what the world thinks.
You don't walk after the world. We call the world the flesh. So we don't walk after the world, but we walk in the way of the Spirit. And so that means that God separates you. That means he puts you to one side. He separates you from the world. He doesn't want you contaminated by its vice, its corruption, and all those things that we battle with. Now, can Jesus do that? Can he work that in your life? When, say, for example, a load of friends, you know friends, if you don't, then it will come up, where they're going to go off to some club or nightclub. And part of you says, well, I'd like to go with them, But a part of you says, well, I'm not sure that it's right because I know what's going to be there. And I know what I'm going to battle. And I'm going to get drawn in. And, you know, so you become torn. So what do you do in a situation? Or what will you do in a situation? Because it probably is going to come up. When some of you go to college or university or whatever it is, there's going to come decisions sometimes where you're going to find wrong people, wrong company, are going to try and draw you in to things that in your heart you probably know isn't right. Now, you have a choice there of what Joel's just said, whether we can go with the world, that is the flesh, or we can go the way of the Lord, which is the way of the Spirit. How can we overcome a situation like that? How can we overcome it? How can we overcome it?
Basically, back in circumstances,
man's coming right for strength to make that decision. That's right. It's asking the Lord for that strength to make that right decision. And sometimes, we can ask the Lord for that strength to make that decision, but in our hearts, we've probably already made our minds up. And I've done that. I've said, Lord, you know, being religious, Lord, help me not to do this and everything, but in my heart, I want to do it. And so the Lord, you know, I think, what went wrong? You know, I prayed, I did what was right, but it still happened. The point is, with that praying, we have to ask God to help us in our hearts. And we have to be honest. And so sometimes now I come before Jesus and I'm saying, Lord, I don't want to do this, but I know that it's right. And only you can help me. You can change that desire. You can change that in my mind, in my thinking. And do you know something? He does that because I was real and honest. And he wants you to be real and honest. Because sometimes you're going to say to the Lord, Lord, help me not to do that. Help me not to go with that crowd. But you're going to anyway. Because you've made your mind up, you see. So we have to ask the Lord to help us in that. And so he then works with us. And then we'll find that we won't. Or sometimes the Lord might let you go along with that company that you know is bad influence, only to find out that you didn't enjoy it. And sometimes that happens. So sometimes God lets you do a thing, and you come away and you think, what a waste of time that was. I didn't get anything out of that. And it's like the Lord said, told you. You see? So sometimes he will even work that way. Not so often though that way, but sometimes he does. And so this is what Paul is saying here. He said, there's therefore now no condemnation. You're not condemned if you desire, you want to walk the way of the Lord. Sometimes you might miss it. But Satan may come along, the old devil may come along, see, you call yourself a Christian, you're not. You know you're not. And that's the condemnation side. And that's where sometimes you have to rise up and say, I am, because God loves me. I may have missed it, but I am a Christian. I do belong to the Lord. I desire to walk in the way of the Spirit. And therefore, on the authority of that word, God says, you are not condemned. You are not condemned. There's nothing worse than a Christian who walks in condemnation. I'm not talking about where you may battle it for a day or two. I'm talking about, I've known some Christians, there's just that I'm condemned, that when you talk with them, you know, I've failed the Lord today and I feel so condemned. And what you're actually hearing is a load of unbelief that just comes out. So really it's that unbelief that holds them in that condemnation. You don't want to be like that. Because if you don't want to be like that, you won't minister to anybody. And certainly it won't be a witness to Christianity. Nobody would want to join that. If they see you all the while under condemnation, condemned, guilty, and you know, this problem, that problem. You don't want to be like that. You don't want to be a miserable Christian. There's nothing worse than a miserable Christian. And sadly, there's quite a lot all around. And no, you have a joy about you. The joy of the Lord is your strength. And an inner peace. And that's what draws people to Christ. That they see there's something different is about you. because you're not going the way of the world.